following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazorah if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier Daf. Today's Daf in Masechet Zvachim is Daf Pei Vav. We're holding on the Mishnah on Pei Hei Amud Bet. Ve'elu im alu yerdu. The following things shall be taken down even if they were put up, because in no way could they be construed to be lachmo shel mizbeach. Forget about whether they're possible, or simply the wrong items don't belong there. And that would include the basar of kodshei kodashim, the basar of kodshim kalim, will never belong on the mizbeach, those karbanos that are meant to be eaten. The motar haomer. The Omer was, of course, a special korban that was brought out of Seorin, and whatever is not on the Mizbeach is never meant to be lachmo shel Mizbeach. The Shtei Alechem, of course, don't come at all on the Mizbeach. It's the Kvasim that's matzah. They're brought together, the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, that's matzah. Then the Lechem Aponim is never put on the Mizbeach. It's the Levona, that is the equivalent of the Kometz for the Lechem Aponim, and the Shiraim of any Menachot. So Shiraim Menachot. Obviously not including Minchat Kohen, which is Kula L'Mizbeach. The Ketoret, despite the fact that it's burned, it's not burned on this Mizbeach. Therefore, the Dinim of a Mizbeach Mekadesh that we're talking about, which is a reference to the Mizbeach Achitzon, would not apply to Ketoret, which is never burned on the Mizbeach Achitzon. Whether there's another din of Mekadesh, another Kalim, we're going to be seeing later. Now, this ends section one of the Mishnah. Now we go on to describe not only things that are not right to be put on the Mizbeach, but they are things that Bechalal are not roi to be burned at all, even where they would be part of something that ought to be put on the Mizbeach. So, for instance, the tzemer, Shebaroshek Vasim, remember that we strip the skin from the Korban Olah. We do not do that to the head. It's only taken off of the body, and the head is brought up on the Mizbeach, but it has wool on the head. Or if it's a tayash, if it's a goat, then it has that hairy growth in its chin, the sayar, shebezakana tayashim. And then obviously all of Basar will have atzamot, and there will be bones, and there will be sinew, and there will be karnaim, horns, tlafayim, and the nails on the feet. In all such cases, when the aver to which they're attached are meant to be put on the Mizbeach, then they too, while they are attached, are considered to be part of that, and ya'alu. Shnemar v'yiktira kohen et hakol. Hakol comes to include even those parts that, if they were separated, you would never see them as part of the Eila itself. But since they're included in the Aver, we don't have to remove them before putting them on. However, if pirshu, if they were taken off, then lo yalu, and they're not included in the Hakol, because the Torah says specifically, v'yasita olotecha habasar v'hadam, and the basar v'dam is meant specifically to exclude those things that are not really suitable for Mizbeach. Tanu Rabbanan, in the Braita we see the details of this drosha in the pasuk. V'iktira kohen et hakol ha-mizbeach. You might think, if that initially comes, as we said, l'rabot atzamot agidim akarnayim v'atlafayim. So this includes all of those parts. Now you might think, yochal afilu pirshu, that this would be true even if they were no longer attached. Talmud lomar v'asita lotecha basar v'adam. But then, if it's only basar v'adam, then you might think that perhaps we should try to get rid of all of the gidim atzomot and just have pure basar brought up to the Mizbeach. V'yale basar l'gabe Mizbeach? No. Remember, it said, v'iktira kohen et hakol. What then is the explanation of what appears to be contradictory? As we said, mechubarim ya'alu, pirshu afilu hein barosha mizbeach yerdu. Now, the question as to whether this drasha is precisely what we just learned in the Mishnah is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. So Rashi learns that this is actually what we just said is the equivalent of what it says in the Mishnah. It's just focusing on the pasuk. Whereas according to Tosafot, If you take a look in the Mishnah, it seems rather clear that the only problem is that if Pirshu lo ya'alu, it doesn't say once it's on the Mizbeach, im Pirshu yerdu, that's a different thing. So here what we're really darshaning is that this is seems to be a different shita. Mechubarim ya'alu, Pirshu afilu hein barosh ha'mizbeach yerdu, which is not what it said in the Mishnah. According to which the explanation of the next line is totally on opposite sides of the fence between Rashi's approach and Tosis's approach. So, man tana de shametle, who is the author of the Shita, says Rashi, in our Mishnah, that says Pirshu Yerdu, which of course doesn't really say in the Mishnah, it says Pirshu Lo Ya'alu, but we shall see what constrains Rashi to understand it in this way in a moment. But who is the author of our Mishnah? Says Tosfos, no, 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 no. The author of the Mishnah is the opposite of what we're about to say. But it's asking who is the author of the aforementioned Braita, in which it says, Pirshu afilu barosh ha'mizbeach yerdu? That's the question. So, man tana d'shametle d'amar Pirshu yerdu? That is Rebbe. So, in other words, according to Rashi, Rebbe is the author of the Mishnah. According to Tosfos, Rebbe is the author of the Braita that argues on the Mishnah. And it's the Tanakhama that we're going to discover of this Braita that will be the author of the Mishnah. Titania. Biktir HaKohen et HaKol HaMizbecha. Let us take a look at the Machloket. We haven't seen a Machloket. So far, at least according to Rashi, we haven't seen a Machloket. So far, we just have the way to analyze that Pasuk. Biktir HaKohen et HaKol HaMizbecha, on the one hand, so that HaKol is marba everything. Rabot Atzamot Vagidim Vakarnaim Vatlafaim Afilu Pirshu. Aha. So now the core question is, does that mean Afilu Pirshu when they're down on the ground? If it means Afilu Pirshu, then even then Ya'alu, which is the way Rashi understands it, then we have over here an extreme machloket. Because there is no middle shita that says, well, if they're mechubar at the bottom, you bring them up. But if then they become detached at the top of the mizbeach, you take them down, you see. But you would never bring them up if they were detached on the bottom, according to anybody. But now it turns out, we're having, if you are mefarshes on the ground, here is a tana that says, even if they were mepurish on the ground, bring them up, you see. So according to Rashi, if we're going from one end to the other, then we're in trouble because there is no middle shita that would agree with this particular halacha. Come closer, my dear son. So according to Rashi, we have now machloket in extremes. According to him, the Tana Kama holds, even if it was perish, down on the ground, bring it up. Why does it say Habasarva Vahadam Vasito Lotecha? Habasarva Adam seems to contradict this. It says the Tanakam will explain it to you. Mani Mikayim Vasito Lotecha Basarva Adam. That's to teach me. Lomar lecha ikule ola atamachzir. Vi atamachzir ikule gidin vaatzamot. That we're not talking over here about things that have not as yet been put on the Mizbeach. Put it on the Mizbeach. Put it on the Mizbeach, even if it was Parish Lamata, again, according to Rashi. And when it was already burned, so that the fire now has already started to consume it, there's a difference. In other words, if you have Basar, yes, Bimachzir. But Gidim Vatzamot, Karnayim Vatlafayim, there even if it's already started to burn, forget it, then we don't put it back on. And we're going to be getting into the Sugya of putting back on in a moment. So that means, says Rashi, look, the Mishnah that says lo ya'alu can't be the Shita, because according to the Shita, afilu pirshu ya'alu. The only one that it could be is Rebbe. Now, despite the fact that Rebbe is talking about, even if it was Brosh HaShemizbeach yerdu, we're forced to conclude that when the Mishnah said afilu Brosh HaShemizbeach, that is Rebbe, because it can't possibly be here. And therefore the question is, okay, why it focused on lo ya'alu? Maybe just to bring out the difference between the Chachomim, who said you would even be ya'alu. But according to Tosfos, Rebbe is the opposite of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is saying that you are married them, that you're not mala them. Rebbe is saying you're married them, even Merosh HaShemizbeach. Therefore, the only way to understand the Gemara, says Tosfos, is the opposite. The Tana over here that says Afilu Pirshu did not mean Afilu Pirshu on the ground. He meant Afilu Pirshu Barosh HaMizbeach. So over there, we would indeed not be Morit, but we certainly wouldn't be Ma'aleh. Therefore, this Tana is the Tana of the Mishnah, where we're only talking about Lo Yalu, but if it was Pirshu Barosh HaMizbeach, Lo Yerdu. Rebbe is the Tana of the Braita that immediately follows, and actually comes out, therefore, with the exact opposite conclusion of Rashi. Okay, now let us go into the details of the Dinim of Ikulim and Pirshu and so on. Rebbe Omer, so to conclude the Braita now, Rebbe Omer, Katuv Echad Omer, V'Iktira Kvein HaTakol HaMizbecha, Riba, V'Katuv Echad Omer, V'Asito Lotecha Basar V'Adam Mi'et, and as I've explained before, says Rebbe, V'Ketzad, if it's B'chubarim, then Ya'alu, Pirshu Afilu Ein Barosh HaMizbeach Yerdu, and we certainly do not use this Basar V'Adam to tell me the din of Ikulei Ola. We use it to tell me the din of when to bring it on the Mizbeach in the first place, or how long to leave it there. Now, this next Dibur HaMatchil is also a mistake. And the Girsa, the correct Girsa should be Pirshu Yerdu. So we're going back now on what was just said in the Braita. Pirshu Yerdu. Omar Rebbe Zeira, Lo Shanu Ela Shepirshu Klape Mata. When do we say Pirshu Yerdu? Only if the direction of the Prishat was away from the fire of the Mizbeach. Now remember, we're not talking about where something is on the ground. We're talking about where something is already up on the Mizbeach. And we're going back on the Braita that talks about whether we need to take it off the Mizbeach. According to which Rebbe Zeira is saying, where do you take it off of the Mizbeach? That is Dafka if it now was Poresh in the direction that is removing it, meaning it's taking it away from the fire. But if it's Klape Ma'ala, which doesn't literally mean Ma'ala, on a higher part of the Mizbeach. It means Klape the Eish, which is the Mokum of the Mizbeach that is functional. Then, on the contrary, what has happened in the Pirush is that it has now gotten even closer to being consumed by the Mizbeach. And there, it's Kruvehu de'akrivu li'ikul, you've made it even more close to the Mizbeach. Therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that in that case it would be Yored, because on the contrary, it now has found itself even more mi'ukal. All right, now, the next piece, Rashi says, is very strange. Doesn't really seem to make any sense. And he says something is missing. Can't tell you exactly what it is. Now, the other Girsaot, however, work out very well. In which case, it should say as follows. Pirshu Afilu Barosh HaMizbeach is what it should say. So when do we say Pirshu Afilu Barosh HaMizbeach? Says Rabbah, you should know. Take out the words Hafikomar, according to this Girsa. Lo Shanu, when do we say that Pirshu Afilu Barosh HaMizbeach, and so on. That's Dafka if they were Pirshu Liachar Zrika. So in other words, we were just mechalek between the difference of Pirshu or non-Pirshu, as if in all cases it's definitely us. The question is, do we take it off of the Mizbeach? Do we put it onto the Mizbeach? No, says Rabbah. There's a third Madrega, which nobody has been paying any attention to. And that is that these things are meant to be given to the Kohen in the context of the Or. And therefore, there are times where, if it was Pirshu, it didn't get any Kedusha of the Mizbeach on it, and it would be kosher. You want to take a bone, or you want to take a horn and make a holder for a pocket knife, go right ahead. That would also be fine. And therefore, the difference is, says Rabbah, where do we get into all of these problems? Dafka, if at the time of the Zrikat Adam, the Atzorma, Gidim, Karnaim, Tlafayim were connected to the Aver that was going to be brought up on the Mizbeach, therefore the Zrika, which is Kevea, the Chelek of the Mizbeach, and his Matir, actually made these pieces part of the Mizbeach. Therefore, as long as they're Mechuber, we'll bring them up. When they now are Poresh, we'll take them down, but we're not going to give them to the Kohen, because they're already the Chelek of the Mizbeach. But suppose at the time that we did the Zrika, they had already been separated from. We cut off the horn from the head. We shaved the zakan of the tayash, and so on and so forth. Then they never got any kedusha. Came along now the Zrika, and was matir them entirely for the Kayanim. The Shiritinu afilu l'me'ebad minau kata de sakina. You want to make a Swiss army knife with it. Go right ahead. Just don't put that cross on it. It's inappropriate. But other than that, there's no problem. Savala. Now, obviously, what he holds like is Kiyad Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. We find that the Torah speaks about what goes to the Kohen. And it uses the same words by an Ola that it does by the Asham. So by the Ola, it says, HaKohen HaMakrivet Olat Ish. Or HaOla, Asher Yikriv LaKohen, Lo Yiyeh. Now that Lo Yiyeh, again, the Pashtut is that it's simply telling us the skin. It's not telling us anything about the Gidim, the Tlafayim, the Karnayim, and so on. However, it also says Lo Yiyeh, same language, Kechatat KaAsham, So, just like by the Asham, Ma Asham Atzmotav Mutarim, the bones of the Asham are part of what's given to the Kohen to eat in the first place. The entire Aver, the Basar of the Asham, as opposed to the Basar of the Eila, it belongs to the Kohen. Therefore, anything which is part of that Basar, including the Atzamot, would be Mutar. Therefore, when the Torah compares the Eila to the Asham, it's telling us that just like the Asham, the Atzmotav are Mutarim, Af Ola the Atzamot are Mutarim. I'm saying that that's only, of course, where the Zerika had been Matir, the Basar, separately from the Atzamot to the Mizbeach. But if the Zerika had been Matir, the Atzamot and the Tayash, and whatever the case is, the Tlafayim, the Karnaim, to the Mizbeach, then it does not go to the Kohen. That's what Rabbah is saying. But the makor of this halacha is the Gezeira Shava. Says the Gemara, well, I sure hope that that Gezeira Shava of yours is mufni, because if it's not mufni, we got a problem. Remember, a Gezeira Shava you can darshan, but only if either you have no questions on it to show that it's illogical, or if you have an extra pasuk that the words that you're darish for the Gezeira Shava are not coming for any other purpose. Therefore, says the Gemara, I hope that the latter is the case, because it sure is not logical to compare the Eila to the Asha. So Mufni, this better be extra, because Yilo Mufni, Ikalamifrach, I could easily ask you that, I mean, it's a little bit silly to compare an Asham to an Eila, because Mal Asham Shkein Bizarro Mutar. I mean, obviously, the Basar is what's being given to the Kohen. It makes sense that along with the Basar, anything that which is Mechuber would also be included in the Heter of the overall, or to the Kohen here, Basar to the Kohen there. But to compare that to the case of the Eila, where the Basar goes on the Mizbeach, who's to say that there's an afkamina between Kohen Zrika and Achar Zrika? Show me. Therefore, it's got to be Mufta, says the Gemara. Yes, indeed, it is very Mufta indeed. Because the Lo Yiyeh by the Pasuk of the Eila is completely irrelevant. Suppose you would have said, Or Hola Asher Yikriv La Kohen Yiyeh. Is that okay? Of course it is. What does the Lo add? Or Habasar Asher Yikriv Ha Kohen, Hama, Lo Yiyeh? That's necessary. So the Lo Yiyeh is entirely extra. Therefore, I'm saying, what is the Torah telling me Lo Yiyeh? To say that it's the same Lo Yiyeh that we found by Asham. And just like by Hashem, clearly it's mutter. Here too, by the Olah, clearly it's mutter. Motiv Rav Ada bar Ahava. Atzamot kodashim. Lifnei zrika moalim behem. Liachar zrika ein moalim behem. Asks now Rav Ada bar Ahava on this distinction of Rav. Says it in bright like this. Before you do the zrika, then there's a din of me'ila even on the atzamot. After you do the zrika, and this is even on other karbonas, not eilah. After the Zrika, it's already nothing left. We've been matir it. And then the din would be that ein mo'alim. But if it's an Eila, mo'alim behem la'olam. Now, does it say anything here, my dear Rava, about the difference between whether it was attached b'shat Zrika, wasn't attached b'shat Zrika? It simply says, and when it comes to a korban Eila, that it's always a din of me'ila. Well, I mean, the way I explain that, what Rabba would say is, Ema v'shel olah. If, pirshu lifnei zrika, then ein mo'al b'im ben, it's taking that for granted. But if it was pirshu li'achar zrika, then it's too late. And mo'alim b'hem la'olam. Now, what's interesting is that Rabba's approach is the exact opposite of Rabbi Elazar's approach. Because pligat Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, that it's the exact opposite. Zrika is what's necessary to be matir them, you see. So the Amar Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika, then mo'alim behem. If there's no zrika, then the zrika that was done later, and that was done for what purpose? To be matir the evorim. That's not going to help you if they were already perish in order to be matir, the chelik of kachi kachim. Because remember, when it comes to kachi kachim, such as a carbon ayla, we start with the given of me'ila, correct? We don't need any bearer of the chelik amizbeach. It's only by kachim kalim that we start off without me'ila, and then the zrika creates the chelik that's for the mizbeach and creates the chiyav of me'ila. So therefore, when we come to the me'ila of kachi kachim, it's on the contrary. The me'ila is now what allows you to distinguish between those things that have been taken out of their state of me'ila. Therefore, if the me'ila was chal, the zrika was chal on these things, so then at least you could say that it would be. I mean, certainly midiraita, it would be no me'ila. That you could say. But if it was pirish, bifnei zrika, forget about it. There's no way that you'd ever be matir it. And that's exact opposite of Rabba, who holds that the zrika, on the contrary, if the zrika took place b'shar that was mechubar, would permanently connect it to the mizbeach, and then you could never give it to the Kohen, even if pirshu, and it was yerdu. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika, mo'alim behem, li'achar zrika, lo nehenin v'lo mo'alim. So let's just be medayek in the words of Rabbi Elazar. Some have the gears of the Omar Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika, mo'alim behem le'olam. And that's Rashi's gears of mo'alim behem. Pufferfish time. Yes, indeed. Pufferfish time. Okay. Who is the victim? Uh-huh. You see, he feels he's being victimized. Look at that. There's nothing to do with the fact that he's the one that always gets a little shut-eye. No, it's just plain victimization. It's gotten you through life so far, Fox, huh? Why not continue it? The Arabs use it all the time. Catch! So if you have the girsa le'olam, then we have a real problem, because then it's the exact, there's no way that he could agree with Rav about anything. Because le'olam means even if the zrika takes place later, it's kaput, it's nothing to do. It's the exact opposite of Rav. Some do not have that girsa, in which case it means only up to the time of zrika. But once there's a zrika, he's made it that it's matir. So in what case is he arguing with Rav over here? Only the fact that according to Rabba, we hand this over to the Swiss knife company, and according to Rabbi Elazar, lechatchila lo mo'ali, lo ne'anim either. And that's only the Rabbanan. Whenever we have those words, lo ne'anim v'lo mo'alim, it means there's no din of me'ila. That's as far as the diorite is concerned. But the Rabbanan asrit ba'na'a. If you don't have the girsa lo'olam, it's only that part that's the opposite of Rab in terms of the halach. The approach clearly is the opposite approach. Okay, this gets us as far as we've gotten. And now it's time for the fox.
Uh-oh. Zog the chelek mishnah.
Oh, man. Mark speaks. V'chulan shepak'u me'agabay amizbeach. Lo yachzir. Now there's a question, what does kulan mean? Rashi understands v'chulan, all of the above, meaning both the Mishnayos that we had about the psulim, shimolu lo yerdu, and also the previous Mishnah that we had about things that are not ro'ui for the Mizbeach that originally had been attached to their Evorim. In both of these cases, if it was poka mi'agabim mizbeach, so on its own, it popped off because the fire popped it off. There was an explosion of trapped air. And it pops off of the mizbeach. then don't put it back on the Mizbeah. The same thing would be true of a piece of coal that is now popped off of the Mizbeah. Don't put it back on. We're going to get into the details of this in the Gemara. Evarim shepaku mi'agabe Mizbeah. On the other hand, the meat that is supposed to be burned on the Mizbeah, the Korban Eilah, then it depends at what point in the night it popped off. Kodem chatzot yachzir. If it pops off before chatzot, so then you should put it back on. But not only that, if it popped off before chatzot, then you would also be mayal b'hem, because it's not considered to be nasik mitzvato. It's only nasik mitzvato after I wouldn't have to put it back on. But as long as there's something here which is b'chai of me to put it on the mizbeach, clearly I haven't completed what needs to be done for the mitzvah of the Aveda. And therefore, there's also a chiyuv me'ila for misuse for secular use. But le'achar chatzot, once already it's after chatzot, this seems very arbitrary, we'll see where we'll get this from. Liach chatzot lo yachzir, you do not put it back up. Rashi learns you do not need it to put it back up, not that you cannot put it back up. And we're going to see this as major impact on how to understand the whole sugya. Yeah? And therefore, there's no din of me'ila because there's nothing that needs to be done with it. Furthermore, now a different issue. In the same way that we've understood that the din of kedushat hamizbeach that comes from kol anugeh b'mizbeach yikdash, you should know that that's true even of the extension of the mizbeach to kevesh. Kacha kevesh mekadesh, and not only that, but kishem shamizbeach va'kevesh mekadshin et haro'u lahem. Even the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash that have in them that which is roi for them, which we shall see, all kelim would also be makad. Now, getting back to the first part of the mission. Hey, Chidon, you're telling me that it's a function of chatzot. If Evarim pop off before chatzot, put them back on. After chatzot, don't put them back on. I don't see what that means. We know that we are allowed to bring up the Emurim and the Evarim kol alayla, right? We're supposed to call al-mokdah kol alayla. So either this has been completed, the burning, or it hasn't been completed, the burning. If it's been completed, what's the difference whether it's chatzot? There's nothing to put back up. You tell me I should put ashes back on the mizbeach for what purpose? If it hasn't been completed, then it's still kol alayla is the zman of hakrova. So then put it back up. But to give me this arbitrary chatzot, that it depends. How could it depend on anything but the physical reality of whether I have what to complete or I don't have what to complete? So So what's the case? If there is left yet what to burn, so what's the difference before? If it's after chatzot, I'm allowed to continue to burn kol alayla. So then, afilu liach chatzot nami, and idelet buhu mamash. If you're telling me it's completely burned, so now what I've got now ashes. What am I putting it up? Afilu kodem chatzot nami. I have nothing to do with it. I shouldn't put it back up even before chatzot. It's not anything that the mizbeach can burn. Must be, therefore, says the Gemara, Lotzricha bishriri. What happened over here is that we have carbonized meat. Carbonized meat that is not no longer meat, but on the other hand, it's not yet ash. So what's the din? Remember that there's two issues that are involved over here, because there's a specific mitzvah on the Mizbeach about ash, deshen. We're supposed to actually deal with the deshen. There's a number of things that we need to do. First of all, we need to do the truma of the deshen, which means there's still what to do about that deshen. So I have to take that shovel, and take one shovel as an act of truma, take it down, put it next to the mizbeach, by the kevesh, in the mokam ha-deshen, where it's nivla in the ground on its own. Then we take all of the remaining ash, we pile it up on the tapuach, and that's the chvoda yisham mizbeach, and then ultimately, when it gets too much, we take it down and we bring it to the Beit HaSreifa. Fast, get him! Ah! So, the question over here is not what to do about things that need burning, because these things have already been carbonized, so you can't call them basar. On the other hand, you can't call them really desha. You don't have complete eifer. Do I know that the Torah has assigned a different period? Yes. Take a look at the pasuk. Minan emili, how would I know that there is what appears to be this arbitrary line of chatzot, before which I view shriri as evarim, after which I view Shriri as Deshen. This is how Rashi learned. According to Rashi, that would mean that once it's La'achar Chatzot, if I do the Trumata Deshen, I do not need to be careful to take out from the Trumata Deshen any carbonized meat, because the Torah is giving it a din of Deshen. Now that's not so posh. There's a sheet of the Torah that says it's not Nogea turning it into Deshen. It's only Nogea, the halak of whether I need to be makriv. And therefore, I need to be careful when I do the Trumas Deshen, not to take Shriri, but to be taking true ash. Okay, that we'll see later. But where do we get the idea that there's a line to be drawn that can distinguish between a period in which a Shriri is an Aver and a period in which a Shriri is not an Aver? Says Rav, look, there's a contradiction in the pasuk. Ketuv echad omer, when we're talking about the din of the Haktorah, so we have the opening tzav et Aharon, and this, of course, is our favorite pasuk in this parak. We've been darshing every last word of this pasuk. So this is ha'olah, he, ha'olah, zot, torat ha'olah, the whole business that we darshed before. All of this is in this pasuk. And we have the machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel. Is it al-Mogda that's important? Is it al-Hamizbeach that's important? How would we learn al-Mogda, al-Liba, Rabbi Gamliel? How would we learn al-Mizbeach, al-Liba, Rabbi Yeshua? And now we get finally to the last part of the pasuk, where it says, Kol ha-layla ad ha-boker, ve'esh ha-Mizbeach tukadbo. Now what does that say to you? It says, Kol ha-layla ad ha-boker, the Eshet of Mizbeach, is continued to be something that you need to see to it that it's tukadbo. So what is that telling you? That Kol ha-layla is the zman for Haktorah. That's the simple meaning of the verse. And yet, the Pasuk goes on to say about that same Kol ha-layla, V'lavash ha-kohen mido bad, ve'rim et ha-deshen, asher tochal ha-esh. Now, is this Kol ha-layla ad ha-boker for Haktorah? Was this Kol ha-layla ad ha-boker for Haroma? The Torah didn't give you any other time for Haroma. So how am I supposed to understand the nature of the layla? Could the Kohen be Merim the Deshen in the middle of the night? Or does he have to wait till later? Is it an arbitrary point? Therefore, says Rav, on the one hand, you have Kol ha-layla v'yiktir, which is the simple meaning of the pasuk. The next pasuk says, Kol ha-layla, so to speak, continuing from here, Ve'hirim et ha-deshen. So how do you explain that? Must be chalkehu, split the night. Split the night into half for haktarah and half for harama. And therefore, we're saying in the Mishnah, the line is chatzot, because the Torah doesn't give you any other information. You're left with no choice but to split it. Ask the Gemara, split it? Doesn't make any sense, because we know that halacha lemaisa, that is not what we do. Mativ Rav Kahana. Well, it relates to it. Mativ Rav Kahana. Bechol yom toreim et hamizbeach mikrot hagever o samuch lo milfanav o miacharav. So every day, when was the Trumat HaDeshen done? From Krot HaGever. Remember that Krot HaGever is either the individual who was appointed for the Kriya. So he went around waking everybody up and saying it's time for us to begin the Avoda. And therefore it's, you know, either before or after a little bit, you know, just like the Daf Yomi. And the other Krot HaGever is the Gever, the cock, cock's cry. And in either event, we're talking about mourning. But this is on a normal day. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we'll see why there's these differences. When it comes to Yom Kippur, the Trumat HaDeshen was done at Chatzot. When it comes to the Regalim, we move the Trumat HaDeshen all the way back to the Ashmoret HaRishonah, which is the first third of the night, before Chatzot. If, says Rav Kahana, Rav is correct in saying that the Torah essentially has told us the din of Chatzot, how the heck do we do a kosher Trumas HaDeshen before Chatzot? We don't have a right just to decide on our own what to do. Now, you'll notice that this is not necessarily so obvious, because since we've been dealing with a middle state of Shriri, how about if you have real Deshen before? Then that wouldn't come under the context of this pasuk at all. In other words, a naive reader of the Gemara, I say to myself, wait a minute, you just said that we're talking about chatzot when it comes to the definition of carbonized meat. But what, if you have real ashes, you have real ashes. So at that point, are you going to necessarily say that the only act of haroma is dafka from chatzot onwards? Remember that this is taking us an extra step forward. Because once Rav says, look, if the Torah is telling me Haroma after Kol HaLayla, and it's telling me Haktorah Kol HaLayla, then it also implies that we're not supposed to do the mitzvah before. That's what we seem to be assuming, which is not so poshut, because we certainly recognize that if we have real evarim or we have real basar, as the Gemara said before, right after the Mishnah. If you have, what to be makriv? Why not be makriv? So the same way that I understand I could do the hakrava after chatzos if I have a fresh piece of meat, so then I should be able to do the deshen before chatzot if I have real ashes. So we seem to be making assumptions in two different directions. In which case, it's indicative that the approach to shriri, the way we've been having it, isn't so. Okay, let's keep that in abeyance meanwhile, but keep it in mind. Now, the question over here is, do we have the girsa of hechi ma'achrinan? Rashi takes off hechi ma'achrinan. Because what's wrong with being ma'acher? The Torah never told you have to do it at chatzot. It just said it's kosher from chatzot for aroma, kosher up to chatzot for the hakrava. But Tosus in Yuma is geres hechi ma'achrinan for the simple reason that since all of the avedas in the Beis Hamikdash are done bizrizut, so obviously zrizim akdim el mitzvah would be extremely important in this case. So how come we're just going to arbitrarily assign a time which is not a time of zrizut? Okay, but in any event, hechi ma'akdim is fatal. I mean, that you should not be able to be yotzei the trubas hadesha if you're makdim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And here again, we're going to see there's two possibilities. Is he now fixing up the drush of Rav? Is he giving us an alternative? But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, let's look more closely at that pasuk. The moment that it says, Kol Halayla, Hi Ha'ola, Al Mogda, Al HaMizbeach, Kol Halayla, what does Kol Halayla mean to you? Well, actually, I shouldn't ask you guys because it probably means until lunchtime. Yeah. So that's not a good question. What does it mean to normal people? It means till the morning, right? So why do you have to tell me Kol HaLayla Ad HaBoker? Obviously, Kol HaLayla continues Ad HaBoker. So Ma Talmud Lomar Ad Boker, to tell me to add an extra morning. Tain Boker LeBokro Shalayla. So the Boker means the time of the breaking forth. It's breakout time. All right, that means that there is an earlier breakout time besides the breakout time that's given in the pasuk. It does not tell me when that time is. This is how Rashi understands the sugya. Therefore, what it's really telling me is, boker is what you make of it. In other words, when it's time to wake up earlier, then that becomes the new boker that I'm adding. When I can wake up later, that becomes the new, as long as it's before the krota gever, that becomes the new boker that we're talking about. That's right. It's very similar. So that's the Zman of Hashkama. You know, you remember the Hashkama Minyanim in the States where, you want to really get an early minyan at 10 o'clock in the morning, you go to the Hashkama Minyan, right? It strikes you as being mad. How can you possibly call that Hashkama Minyan? But, okay, Rashi says that, but Hashkama really means when you wake up. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, it really makes sense because every day, the time that you would wake up would be krota gever. So yilkoch kol yuma mikrota gever. That's enough. I don't need more time than that, so why should I wake up any earlier? So that's sagi. But on Yom Kippur, you've got a problem. Why is there a problem? Because the Kohen Gadol is going to have to really work himself half to death because he's going to be doing everything. So if he's going to be doing everything, we're going to have to give him a break a little bit to get rested. Therefore, Mishum Chulsha de Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol has to get a rest, we tell him to go ahead and do the Trumat HaDesh. Wake up, do the Trumat HaDesh at Chatzot. And then you won't have much to do until the morning because you can't do the other avodas until it's actually done. So you get a chance to rest. Now, this is one approach. I'll get back in a moment to the alternative. When it comes to the regalim, on the regalim, there's an awful lot of work that's going to be needed to be done because hundreds of thousands of people are bringing karbanas. We want to make sure that we have enough time to do trumas hadeshen, clear off the mizbeach from the massive amount of ash that is being brought here every day. Because the Mishnah elsewhere talks about the tapuach. I mean, that tapuach was enormous. You could have enough there for 300 people that would need to carry it out. That's going to take a long time. And we need to get moving very quickly on the regalim because we have tons of karbanas. Can't bring the karbanas in the middle of the night, obviously, but we can use the whole night for getting the mizbeach ready and cleaning it off and everything else. And at that time, the Zman of Hashkama is very early. So already 2 o'clock in the morning, our morning, not 2 o'clock after Chatzot. the second hour in the morning already, people might be getting up. So at that point, you see, we already have this Zman Hashkama. So since Kad Me'atu Yisrael Me'ashmorat HaRishona, people were already coming now from the earliest, the one-third of the time of the morning. That's already, it's really 4 o'clock in the morning. So that would be our morning. That would be the time of the Hashkama. And it says that there. It says in the Sefer, Kiriktari Sefer, Lo Haita Krota Gever Magata Sheita Azara Miliami Yisrael. There were so many people there that it was impossible. And that's why at that point we go back. But this is not a clear-cut division, says Rabbi Yochanan. It really is a function of the actual time of Hashkama, which is defined by the actual day. This is Rashi's approach. And after you do a review, we'll talk about Tosfos' approach tomorrow night. But before we do that, let's just mention that when it comes to the Chulshah of the Kohen Gadol, what we said is one possibility, namely the Kohen Gadol is going to have to do everything. And therefore, if he has to do the Trumas Hadeshen right before he needs to start doing a million other things, he's going to be utterly exhausted in the time where he's going to need all of his strength to carry the Ketoret, and so on and so forth. Therefore, we give him a break. Tosfos explains that that would be true, but only according to the Man D'Yomar, who holds that everything that is done that day, including the Avodat Laila, is done by the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, we got a problem. He's going to be very, very tired. Problem is, though, there is a shita that says the Kohen Gadol only has to do the Avodot Hayom, not the Avodot HaLayel. And the truth is, how come it only mentions the tefillah for the change of the begadim and so on after Trumat Hadeshen? And how come it discusses the pious for the Trumat Hadeshen in Masechet Yoma, which is Mashmah, was part of the Avodah of Yom Kippur? And it can't be a pious to select the Kohen if the Kohen Gadol is the one that does everything. Therefore, according to that approach, the Kohen Gadol isn't going to be doing the Trumat Hadeshen. So what would you mean, Mishum Chulsha, the Kohen Gadol? Therefore, the other explanation would have to be that we want the Kohen Gadol to get as much done as early as possible. So therefore, we have the other Kohanim do the Trumas Hadeshen and get everything else ready so that the Kohen is ready, Kohen Gadol is ready to start immediately upon dawn. And therefore, we started Chatzot with our preparations. In that sense, it would be similar to the Ashmarat HaRishon of the Regalim, except we don't have this additional problem of all the Korbanot of Yisrael. So we have only Chulsha the Kohen Gadol. It's puffer fish time. Yeah. Next. Hatzemer shibor shekavasim v'sar shibizkan tayashim ve'atzamot v'agidim akarnayim batlafayim bizman shem mechubarim yalu shenamar v'yikter hakohen et hakol aval pirshu lo yalu shenamar v'asit olotecha abasar v'adam oni tonen rabbanan v'yikter hakohen et hakol amizbecha l'rabot ha'atzamot v'agidim akarnayim batlafayim yochol afilu pirshu tamud lomar v'asit olotecha abasar v'adam oh ibasar v'adam Yoko Yachalotsky Dimat Samot Viala Basalagamisbeya, Talmud Lomar Victor Kwenatako. What is the way out of this? Haketsa must be Mechubarim Ya'alu, Pirshu Afila Embrosh Abizbeach Yerdu, which is, according to Rashi, the meaning of the Mishnah too, even though the Mishnah doesn't discuss the Yerdu. Man Tana the Shamat Odomar Pirshu Yerdu, and therefore it's the Tana of the Mishnah, according to Rashi. Or the Tana that is against the Mishnah, according to Tosfos, Rebbe. The Tanya v'yikter hakohen et kolam mizbecha l'rabot atzamot v'agidim akarnayim batlafayim afilu pirshu, says the Tana Kama. Afilu pirshu? Alamani mikayim v'asit olotecha basar v'adam. That's long, and that, of course, is a machlokes. Afilu pirshu, meaning barosh hashem mizbeha, or afilu pirshu on the ground, as Rashi understands. So, ma talmud, ma nimikayim vasit olotecha vasar v'adam, lomar lecha ikulei ola ata machzir, vi ata machzir ikulei gidim atzamot. Rabbi Omer, no siri, it's exactly as we said before. Katuv v'chad amer v'yiktir hakohen et hakol amizbecha, riba. Katuv v'chad amer vasit olotecha, only abasar v'adam, miyet. Haketzat, b'chubarim ya'alu, but pirshu afilu im b'rosh amizbecha yerdu. Okay, now we change the girsa over here to Pirshu Yerdu, not Pirshu Lo Yalu, because we're going back on the explanation of the Braita. Clearly, if it was down on the ground, it would be a little bit silly to talk about going higher or going lower, because then, of course, we'd have to have levitating beards, which, I mean, that's a problem even in India. So, Pirshu Yerdu. Omar Rebbe, Zera, Lashon HaLash, Pirshu Klape Mata. Ava Klape Mala, Kruvu, De Akrivo Leiku. Next. Pirshu Afila Barosh HaMizbeach, Omar Rabba, Lashon HaLash, Pirshu Leachar Zrika. That is the Girsa Libra Taismas. So, Lashon HaLash, Pirshu Leachar Zrika. Ava Pirshu Kodem Zrika, Atoi Zrika, Veshiritinu. I don't care with what. Afilam Eved Binayokata, the Sakina. So therefore, if the Zrika took place while they're no longer attached, then it completely takes them out of the dinim of Kedushas HaMizbeach, and is mate them for making Swiss knife handles. So Avalaki Adam Rabbi Yochan B'Shem Rabbi Shmo, Nemar Lo Iyeh Be'olav, Nemar Lo Iyeh Ba'asham, Ma'asham Atzmotav Mutarim, Af Ola Atzamot Mutarim. I sure hope this is Mufni, because if it's not Mufni, you can be from Allah came to Mutar. Yeah, of course it's Mufni. The law, yes, completely unnecessary. Mat by Ola. Mati Vrivada Bar Ava. Atzamot Kachulifne Zrika Moalim Bam. Leachai Zrika in Moalim Vishal Ola. Whoa. Moalim Bam Le Olam. Under any circumstances. No. Ema shel ola, if pirshu lifnei zrika in moalim ben, and liachas zrika moalim ben lolam, which is exactly what I said Rabba. If pligat Rabbi Elazar, the Yom Rabbi Elazar, pirshu lifnei zrika moalim behem, according to some, lolam, which case is vadai, the opposite of Rabba, liachas zrika, if it doesn't say lolam, so then it's this part is not the opposite, but this part that follows is, Liachas Rika lo ne'enim velo mo'alim, which means that the machloket would be, according to Rabba, there's no issue to Rabbanan. According to Rabba Elazar, there is. V'chulam shepakul mi'agabim mizbeach lo yachzir, v'chin yachalot shepakah mi'agabim mizbeach lo yachzir, evarim shepakul mi'agabim mizbeach, kodem chatzot yachzir, u'mo'alim behem. Liachas chatzot lo yachzir, v'ein mo'alim behem. Kishim shamizbeach mekadesh et ha'ra'ui lo, kach ha'kevesh bekadesh. Kishim shamizbeach ve'akevesh mekadshin et ha'ra'ui lahem, kach ha'telim mekadshin. Zahechi domi, I don't get this chatzot jazz. I mean, idi itmehu mamash, afilo yachar chatzot nami. Idi letmehu mamash, afilo konam chatzot nami lo. Ah, lo tzrichi in a carbonized meat b'shviri. And where would we get the idea of chatzot minonimile? Omar Rav, look, Katuv Echad Omer Kol HaLayla V'Ktir, and then the very next pasuk, which appears to be continuing the Kol HaLayla, is Ve'irim Bet HaDesh. Now, how do you explain that? So clearly, Chalkeu, Chetzu L'Aktarav, Chetzu L'Arama. Mati Rivkana, how can you say, what do you mean Chetzu? Then how do you explain the fact that B'chol Yom Torim Et HaMizbeach B'Krot HaGever Osam Muchlo Milfanav Omenach Harav B'yom HaKippur B'chatzot? But how do you explain B'regolim B'Shmorat HaRishona Yisak Adaitak B'chatzot is the Araita Heichi Mikadminan? And according to Tosis, we could even ask from the first part, Heichi Machrinan, why are we not Mizares? Weak. Therefore, and here's the question, do we say Ella or don't we say Ella? Is Rabbi Yochanan arguing on Rab or polishing Rab? Therefore, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mimash, Mashinama, Kol HaLayla. What? I never heard that Kol HaLayla is Ada Boker. Ma Talmud Lomar Ada Boker. Tain Boker La Boker Shalayla. Hilka, Ko Yuma Mikro. Tagever Sagi. Biyama Kippuri Mishum Chul Shida Kohen Gadol, either who has to do all of the Avedas and therefore needs a rest after doing the Trumas Hadeshah. Or the other Kohanim do the Trumas Hadeshah early because the Kohen Gadol is going to get weak if he starts too late in the day. It'll be tired out by the time he gets around to finishing up. Then, Mechatzot, Beregolim, where we've got tons of things on the Mizbech and it needs to all be cleared off in order to have the additional Korbanos that are going to be in the millions that are coming today. We're Nefishi Korbanot, and I'll prove to you Nefishi Korbanot from the fact or this itself is an indication, this is Manashkam, the way Rashi learns. Then, as it says, There we need to go and go all the way from the Ashmaret HaRishona.
The following is the daf from the previous daf Yomi cycle.
Hey, I'm Mitbeis on the Mishnah. The Elohim Alu Yerdu. The following things have no shaykhus to the Mizbeach at all, and therefore, even if they were on the Mizbeach, they cannot become Machmesh of Mizbeach and should be taken off. Basar Kochi Kadashi, or Basar Kochi Kali. The meat that was meant to be given to the Kohanim to eat, it was meant to belong to the Baal and to eat of Kochi Kali. Umosar HaOmer, you remember that the Omer is only an Isaron, but in order to get that Isaron very, very fine, we used to take three sayim, and we would put them through for a good yimon malpeis, and we get the very until when we get the finest of the fine flour out of it. Meanwhile, we have all of those leftover sayim. What happens with that? That's given to the kohanim to eat. So if that's put up on the mizbeach, it does not become lachmish on mizbeach, nor does the shtei halecha, which the flour of no shaykes, to the mizbeach, because they're chametz, and those are the lech of achonim, which are also chametz. So all of these things are given to kohanim to eat. The mishiyare haminafes also are basically the equivalent of basar kochi kochi. Kteres, even though it's brought on the mizbeach hapnimi, cannot become the lachmish on mizbeach or mizbeach hafitza. Mizbeach hafitza doesn't eat kteres. So that's the end of that piece. Now starts another section that's really a Mishnah b'fei atzmei. Atzemer sheberoshei kvasim v'sa'ar shebzikam v'tayashim. Now even though normally the whatever is on the skin of an oila is not brought up because we do have to eat it beforehand. However, when it comes to the rosh, we're not mafshit the or of the rosh, and the rosh is brought up along with its or. And there are places where you also have things that are bechlal mafshit, which should be shayach and mizbeach, like tzemer. There's a little bit of tzemer on the back of the head, close to the neck of the keves. There's a little bit of hair on the goat, on its chin. And then there's other things that the chlala brought up together with korbanos, like bones that are really not able to really burn them as food. Gidim, karnayim, the horns, the tafayim, the sinews, and the hooves, all of those things are really not part of the yoyla, and yet as long as they are connected still to the Eber that's being brought up, should be brought up to the Mizbeach. Shenemar, v'yiktir ha-kohen es hakol on Mizbeach. All of it needs to be taken up. On the other hand, pirshu, if they came off of the Eber, then lo ya'alu. Shenemar v'asita lotecha basar v'adam. So on the one hand, the Torah seems to be telling us dafka basar v'adam. On the other hand, it says to say, bring up hakol. The only way to understand that is that as long as it's part of an Aver, then it's Hakol. That's because it's all one thing. So we look at it as Hakol, the whole thing. But once it's already separated, then the Torah is Machmen of Basar V'Dam. Tana Rabban. V'yiktir HaKohen es Hakol HaMizbeach. Now that comes to be Marav. Even Atzameh, Eskidim, Karnayim, Tlafayim. You might think Yochel Afilu Pirshu, even if they were separated from the Aver. Talmud Lomar V'asitelo Techa Basar V'Adam. Now wait a minute. Yibasar V'Adam. So Yochel Yachalot Ginim Atzameh V'Yala Basar Gan Mizbeach. You might think that means that there's a mitzvah to cut out all of the inedible portions before putting it on the Mizbeach. You cut out all of the Ginim. You cut out all of the Atzameh. That's what I could do with for people, and we do the same thing and bring up actual meat, supermarket meat on the Mizbeach. Talmud Lomar, V'yiktir HaKohen es Hakol. Okay, so how do we explain the difference between the two? Is it Hakol or is it HaBasar V'Adam? Must be that Mechubarim Ya'alu, Pirshu, once it's Poreish, Hafilu in Barosh HaMizbeach, even if they're already on the Mizbeach, Yerdu. Now, Man Tana D'Shamet Le'Gamer Pirshu Yerdu. Who is the author of this Mishnah who says that if they were Peirish, they should be Yoyred? It seems to be going only on Libet Reb. Because in the Braisa, we see that this is a Machlokas, the Tanya. V'yiktir HaKohen es HaKol HaMizbeach. That's Marda, Atzoma is Gidin, Yanai, Rafai, Afilu Pirshu. And that would be true even if it were not part of the Eiver anymore. Obviously not like our Mishnah. Why then does it say specifically Basav Adam? Lomar Laka Ikule Ola Atamazir. V'hi Atamazir Ikule Gidim Vatsamot. So according to the Tanakhama, what it's saying is if you have pieces of actual Basav which now are mu'ukhalais, in other words, they've already been burned on the Mizbe'ar. Nonetheless, as we'll see, there's a, up to a particular time, but you're modestly them onto the Mizbe'ar if they fall off because of the fire. Sometimes fire pops, and things come off. It's called the kia. So those things should be put off. But things that pop off of the Mizbe'ar that are mu'ukhalim, that are themselves not roi for akhila, then you don't put them back up. That's the only thing that it's coming to say. Whereas Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, like we just dash. Now that's a reboot. Since we say everything should go up. Is a myth. Okay, so the only way to reach an understanding of the contradiction, says Rebbe, is that if they're mechubarim yalu, and then they're part of the Eiver, if they were Poresh, then even if they're Barosh Hashem Mizbeach, they should be Yerdu. So this is the way Rashi is learning. The Mishnah is going, I'll leave it a Rebbe. And that's why it says over here that even if they were Poresh Hashem Mizbeach, Yerdu. It's interesting that Tosus learns just the opposite. Because he says, since it says Lo Ya'alu, the Mashma'ut is of our Sugya, that if they had been Ayla, Lo Yerdu. But according to Rebbe, they would be here too. This is a people Baruch Hashem is there. Therefore, on the contrary, Mantana would be going a Libra Rabbona. And Apilu Pirshu would mean Apilu Pirshu when they're up on the Mizbeah, not Apilu Pirshu where Rosh is learning down and then you should be Malik. Okay, so we have two ways of understanding this piece. Then they can go to Mishnah Katinis Pirshu, Lo Yalu, and the Shaila is. What type of pirshu? Omer Abizera. Lo shana lo shapirshu klapi mata. This is only if the prisha was to let them go off of the mizbeah. But let's say they would have popped closer to the mizbeah, have a klapi mala. They were going towards the ma'arok. When we say up, it means, in other words, up towards, it's not really up, but up in the sense of aliyah. But it's now still on the ma'arok, and it's going closer to the esh that's in the middle. It's a klapi mala, it's not a problem, because if there's kruvi who the akriva leikul, over there you're just, it's like it's still part of the mizbeach, and it's just getting to a place where it could be mu'ukal better. And therefore, over there, apilu pirshu, since it was never in any way removed from the mizbeach. I mean, the Gemara now, there's a little bit of a problem here that there's a number of different yourselves. Rashi says if we're going to go race the way that we have the Gemara, then what to do is to stop here. Dakrivali Kule. The Gemara then adds, Zvapilu Pirshu. Are you saying that even if they were Pirish and these things are no longer connected, like the Gimim and the Tlafai and so on, that they still are considered to be part of the Mizbeach? I thought Pirshu Apilu Barosh Hashem Mizbeach Yerdu. So what's the difference if it's the Kor Pekarva to Ikub? And on that, the Gemara answers that there must have been a mistake. And what he really said, Rebbe Zera, was as follows. Amar Rabba Ochikama. Lo Shana Alasha Pirshu Le'achazvi. When do we say this? Because you'll notice that when we say Pirshu, that then Yerdu, we don't say that they become mutter. We just say yerdu. In other words, they were not the lach Hashem is there. We put them up. Now they became disconnected in the process of burning it. But apparently they're still now kachim, like they're kachim soon. We don't give them to the garden to you. They say yerdu. That comes along with Zerah to say, but that's only if at the time of the Zerika they were part of the lacham hamizbeah. But suppose, then we say, Pirshu Yerdu,
but they're still considered to be osur. However, li'acha zrika, I mean, kayim zrika, if the klisha would have been before the zrika, at the time of the zrika now, they were no longer mechuborim, and they're not considered to be on the mizbeach any longer. In that case, comes along the zrika, say zrika, pesh v'sheretino. So now they become mutter to the kohen, just as if they would have been cut off before. So as long as at the time of the zrika, they were no longer connected and were no longer lachlish on the mizbeach, would be moed them, then at that point, the zrika comes along and says, this belongs to the kohen, in the same way that the or, the skin, belongs to the kohen. Afilu l'vishatil atil l'nevan minayu kapit sakina. It's mutter for any usage at all. Want to take a bone? Take a bone and you can whittle a knife handle from it if you want. And that's fine. Savalak yadi amr of Yochanan, Mishrubi Rishmo. And he obviously, Rabbi Zera, holds of the drasha that was quoted in the name of Rabbi Yishmo, in which we learn that the Kohen has a schus even to the Atzomets. Because it says the Lashon lo yiyeh ba'olam. And there it's talking about the Or Ha'olam. So it says, Or Ha'olam, she'ikriv la'kohen lo yiyeh. And it says the same Lashon of lo yiyeh by an Asha. Over there, of course, referring to all of the meat as well. So ma'asha matzmotav mutarim. In the same way that the bones of an asham are mutter, because an whole butter is given to the kohen, including the atzmonet. So too, as olah asmotav mutarim. So apparently, the halakha that when they're mechuborim and they were on the mizbeach and then they were perish yerdu, but yerdu doesn't mean that they're mutter. That's dafket b'shasurika. They weren't capable of being huta l'kayam, because they were locked Meshul Mizbeach at that moment. But if at that moment they weren't locked Meshul Mizbeach, then the Zrika comes along and is mounted. And that we learn out Kufa from the Zereshava of Lo Yiyeh from Eila to Asha. Well, says the Gemara, I sure hope it's moved me. I mean, I hope that you got an extra bus over here, because that's about the craziest kind of, what kind of comparison is it? Do you love moved me? If this is not a Zereshava based on extra psukim, so then, I mean, the simplest question to ask, it's rather obvious the difference in Kalimitra. Mala also became Bisarom Mutam. Obviously, if the whole carbon, the meat is mutter, so the Yatsam is a mutter. I mean, but on the Oila, where the Torah Gufa telling you to bring the meat up to the Mizbeah. I mean, it's an awfully big leap to say that if the Yatsamis weren't connected to the Bursar at the time of doing the Rika, that should be the same as the Yatsamis of the Ashram, where the whole Bursar was given to you. I mean, it's a totally different situation. Unless you have an extra pasuk, then you can't ask the question. I mean, Zera Shafa, the Torah said, this is the way it is. So I think, well, yes, indeed. The lo yiyeh is completely extra, if you think about it. Because it says, or Allah shall increase la kohen. No, so what does la kohen mean? It goes to the kohen. What are you adding lo yiyeh for? It should be his. And of course, it's la kohen. It means it should be his. So the point over here, therefore, is that we have an extra lo yiyeh. That lo yiyeh we're going to compare to the Asham. Mostly Ravada Bahava. Ravada Bahava Yestamis from the Bryce. It says, Atsomes Kachi Lifne Zrika, Moyali Mehem. Liyaka Zrika, Ein Moyali Mehem. Vishel Oyla, Moalim Bahem, Le'olam. When it comes to the asomas of an eila, there's always an iser me'ila, which means that they never go to the kohen. So how do you understand that? If supposedly lo yiyeh teaches me that even the asomas do go to the kohen, we know that anything that goes to the kohen, there's no me'ila. And here it says li'eila. I mean, mashma, no matter what the situation is. So think about it. Ema shel eila, that means of here is, that an eila pirshuli bnei zrika ein mo'alim lehem. Liyaka zrika mo'alim behem li'eila. What it's saying over here is that there is in fact a shita, saying if, this is the way we were learning, that if the Zrika took place in a way that they were already perish and therefore they were not meant to be put on the Mishnah, then it's Matzirit. Otherwise, indeed, there's no way to be Matzirit again, even if it will be perish. That's what the Meyerla means. Even if it'll end up being perish, and you'll take it off in his day out, but since it's Lacha Zrika, it's too late. So therefore, it remains Osir B'Meila, even as possible. The plea of the Rebbe Elazar, but this approach is not true according to Rebbe Elazar. Pirshu lifnei zrika noel imehem. Liyaka zrika loineni v'loin noel. According to Rebbe Elazar, if you have the prisha before zrika, so then you are noel imehem, because then they're never roi to do an aliyah to the mizbeah. By the way, this other yourselves on this too. But according to this, Rabbi Elazar is arguing on two things. First of all, he's saying that the prisha before not the zrika is never matirit to the Kohen. All it does is the asrit for the mizbeah, in which case it remains always asrit for the Yuhah. Furthermore, even if you have Liachar Zrika, the Zrika, the din would be, Liachar Zrika, the din would be that the Isser is not an Isser Mihir with the Arisa, but it's an Isser Drabon, of Lomim, alone. Tosus learns that the Pirshu, the correct Yirsa, is Mayalim Behem Ad Zrika, which makes more sense according to the way we were learning. In other words, Zrika is Matirit. And that the thing that is Shaloka Rebbe Elazar is that he's saying, but even Liachar Zrika, the Rabbanan Asr, and they said, even though Lo Mayali Miniraita, but Lo Nani Minirabbana. That's the main point that he argues on. Chaylik, that Zrika is Matzah. But unlike that, as far as the Reich is concerned, it's not Shaykh Meila anymore.
When did they
cut up the
animal? After
the Shrika? Yeah, but when we cut up the animal, we don't cut off the Lafayim and Megiddo Mazonis.
How are they forged?
They're burned, being burned. And it fell off.
Before Zika,
when they already forged. Yeah, it was done wrong. Or they did it.
The coin cut
it? Yeah, or somebody cut it. Could be somebody cut it. No, what they did is we've had many cases where what we did was before. Like somebody could even be mild the animal alive, and that was their chef, and then that was there, and then do the hefshpini tuaf on top of his there. So, okay, I mean, normally, of course, this wouldn't happen. We could always do this week before.
Right.
Yeah. Now, all of the cases of the tzulim, the cases of the things that are in the chuber, if they popped off. Koku means they popped off because of the age. Somebody will have pop and a release of air on the fire of the Mizbeach, and there they were blown off the Mizbeach by that. No, you have to don't believe to put them back on again. Because they're not the Chathila meant to be Mu'ukal on the Mizbeach anyway. You have a coal that is burning, and it was popped off of the Mizbeah, you don't have to put them back on. However, a Vorim, the things that are meant to be on the Mizbeah, and they're the Lach Mishra Mizbeah, and they were Pokem Yagam Mizbeah, then it depends. Kedem Chatzos, we'll see this, we have to learn out from the Pos. But Kedem Chatzos, before Chatzos, Yachzir, and your Mechuyah, it's very interesting, because all the other Dinim of Chatzos are all dinim drabonim, except according to Liyad Lagabi of Pesach. Here, obviously, there's something about the arrival that defines chatzos, which is tremendous Kiddush. So there's something about chatzos that means that what was on the Mizbeach and was burning until chatzos is considered to have been consumed by the Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, I mean, Mamanusha, is it, was it consumed or wasn't it consumed? Now, why don't we look at it? If there's still something to burn, so then how can chatzos say when you're going to say a piece of meat, carry him chatzos? A lot of chatzos, I shouldn't burn it. I mean, you're supposed to burn it kol alayla. So you certainly can't be burning a piece of meat. If it's just ashes, I mean, so it is burned. So what's the point of putting it on his bed? Doesn't make any sense. So we're going to come out that this new halacha is talking about something that was burned, but was not entirely carbonized. So in other words, it's hard, it's like cakes, it's only edible. But it hasn't been turned into charcoal yet. And there's still other elements that haven't completely vaporized. And that middle piece, there's a Xeris HaKosev that says that up until Chatzos, it's not considered to be Desha. Post Chatzos, it's already considered to be Desha. So there's something over here that's relating the burning of the Mizbeach to the Aromas HaDesha and the Agave on the Mizbeach. Liacha Chatzos lo yachzir, and the Mela in mailing them. That's because it's already Nasa Mitzvasa. So the Torah defines at what point it's considered to be Nasa Mitzvasa, at what minute, as the Mishnah earlier said, that Lo Matsino Dovash and Nasa Mitzvasa, in mailing them. Once already you did what you have to do, then it's not Shayach Mi'ilan. Kishim Shah Mizbeach B'Kadesh HaTarach Uilo. Now, in the same way that we find this special halacha of the Mizbeach being Mekadesh over here, of course, Mizbeach being Makadish is Negea the din of whether Yerdu Mi'agabi on Mizbeach. But there's another halacha of Kedusha, which is also Negea very much, and that is it Shayach Pinyan? Once something has the Kedusha of the actual Kli. So first of all, you should know that the definition of Mizbeach includes the Kedush. And Kishim Shah Mizbeach Mekadesh, Kaha Kevesh Mekadesh. If I take one of these psalms and I put them on the Kevesh in order to be Malach the Mizbeach, it's already as if it's on the Mizbeach. No, we learn that from a pasuk. But furthermore, Kishim Shah Mizbeach Mekadesh Mekadeshim et Aru Ilahem, Legabe the Din of Imolu Vayerdu, Kaha Kelim Mekadeshim, so too, all of the Kelim of Klishoris and Mekadesh, because, or also the Kli Medid, as we'll see, are Mekadesh, and they make what's put in it, Kodesh Kedusha Saguf, that it's not Shayach Pidyon on it anymore. And so, Mamela, there are elements of Kedusha that extend also to Kevin. Says the Gemara Echidon, and what is
it? Doesn't create a view to take it up.
No. And you could be talking about things that aren't even Shayach to take now. Now, but when you say over here that it depends on Chatzos. I don't understand. What's the case? I mean, if there's still butzer on these Eivorim, I don't understand. What does Chatzos have to do with it? So now, why don't I have to bring it up on the Mizbeach? Vidalas, Bulmamash, if there's no butzer left, and it's all burnt up, so what's the point of putting it back up on the Mizbeach? Why should I put it back up? The case is the Tzricha. Bishriri. We're talking about over here that the Eivorim became very hard, like a piece of dry wood. It's not charcoal. It's not edible anymore. However, dry wood is not charcoal. So the question is, if it was mamish charcoal and there's nothing left of it, so it's ash, and then already it's desh, and what's the point of putting it back on? But shriri is defined as desh and only at Chatzos. Minan immediately, where do we get such a thing? Because Amar Rav, because of Ephraim, the Kolalaila, Behri. If you read the Pasuk, Ya Allah, Allah Al Mogdal, Mizbeach, Kolalaila, Al Habaker, Behri Matayim. Now, Behri Mat is a desh. That's all one Pasuk. So, Kolalaila, Al Habaker, Behri Mat is a desh is also true. And on the other hand, Yaila Alamar Gdala Mizbeach Kol Alayla is also true. In other words, so, which is Akhtara. So, I mean, what's the pshat? Is the Layla a time of Akhtara? Or is the Layla a time of Aramas HaDesh? So what I say, he says Rav, that it means, Chalkeitzah, am I Mekayim in both of these things? Chalkeitzah. Split the Layla into two. Chetzio LaHakhtara, V'chetzio LaHarama. So part of the Laila is Roy now for Aromas HaDeshen. Obviously, if it isn't Deshen physically, and it's still fresh meat, and it's edible, so I have to say that should be called Deshen. It isn't Deshen. But something that is Bichlal, at least, charcoal, that's hardened and it's burned, this is not Deshen yet, the Torah says from Chatzos on, it's considered to be Deshen. Now this is the way Rashi learns the sugya. That according to him, it actually become, as it's been now of Deshen, Shemratzos. Motiv of Gan. B'chol yom haya torem et ha-mizbeach mikrot ha-gever o somuchlo. Zofanav o mi'acharav. Normally, the Kohen, first thing that we did was Trumas Hadesha. The Trumas Hadesha was done early in the morning, but it was done from Kos HaGevers, and I focus in Yuma with the Kos HaGevers as a reference to the rooster's crow. The Kos HaGevers is a reference to the Kohen that was appointed on waking everybody up. But in any event, it was early, and a little bit before, a little bit after. We weren't marked specifically on the time. We had lots of time. On Yom Kippur, we used to do the Trumas Hadeshen at Chatzes. The Gemara will explain later why this is true. And during the Regalim, when we had a lot of tremendous number of Korbanos that would have to be brought, so everybody was coming up to the Meir. So then the Trumas Hadeshen was done very early, even from the Ashmores Arishayna. At that point, there was enough time to clean up the Mizbeach. Remember, the Trumas Hadeshen was just a specific Aveda that took out a little bit of Deshen. Then there was a tremendous amount of work to actually clean up the Mizbeach and then haul it out, which should be available now for the tens of thousands of Korbanos that are going to be brought during the day. That took time. So since there was going to be so much business on the Mizbeach, we wanted to get moving early. So that by the time of Alois HaShachar, it would be immediately ready to be mocked with the Sabaika, and then we could start bringing Korbanos. In order to do that, we needed the extra time. The Trumas Hadeshen was done from the Ashmora HaRishonim. The problem is that the way you just learned, Chatzes is the Araisa. Chatzes is the Araisa to give a din of Trumas Hadeshen. So what right do you have to be marked in? You can't go to say, well, I'll do the Trumas Hadeshen for the Ashmora HaRishonim. It's against the process. So clearly it can't be that Chatzos is the Araisa. Because he's not today, the Chatzos is the Araisa. Echi Magdamina, what right would you have to go back to Ashmora HaRishonim? Om Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, you're confusing two issues over here. One is the question of what defines equal. The other is the question, when is it roy to do Trumas Hadeshen? Now, Lamaisa, you're right. Before Chatzos, I certainly cannot do Trumas Hadeshen on something that I still have a Chiyuv of Hakdamah on. But if I find Deshen, I say, why can't I do Trumas Hadeshen on that Deshen? I shall say, I mean, it doesn't make sense that the two issues that the Torah is linking the two. If you're telling me, kol ha'layla zayivkir, kol ha'layla zayivkir. And that means that Chatzos should be the time in which it should be the behavior. Not the Chatzos, time to be vayivkir. Where do you see that there's a remez that the behavior is shayach even earlier? So that is what Yochanan. That's a whole different issue in the post. Look, the Torah says, yo'ilal mo'dalam is be'al kol ha'layla. The last time I heard, kol ha'layla means it's in the morning. So what do you have to say? Kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. I mean, every idiot knows it. Kol ha'layla ad ha'boker. Ela, the pshat, you're telling me ad ha'boker. Matam ha'lomer ha'boker. Tain boker ha'boker shalayla. It must mean, add now a new boker to the layla's natural boker, which would be the morning. And you determine, therefore, what you call the boker. That's the pshat. In other words, the normal Alois HaShachar, which is the Boker, is not that. That's given. But there should also be a Boker. What is a Boker? When you're getting up, when you're starting the day. But when you're starting the day, it can be defined in different ways. On a normal day, it's defined as a little bit before Alois HaShachar. On a day like Yom Kippur, where Nevach HaKohen is under tremendous amount of pressure, he's tired and he's hungry, you want to make sure he gets an early start. Chatzos is fine. On a day where you have pressure of so many people coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to be able to bring Mamish Ad Alois HaShachar, you have to be able to bring the Tamid, you better start early. And the fact is, as we'll see, people came to the Beis HaMikdash at 2 o'clock in the morning. Very early in the morning, from the Ashmara HaRishina. In which case, that's the Beis, because that's when people now are getting up. That's their Ashkama. Each day is defined by its own unique time. Or a time. No, 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 you can't bring the carbon, but you can do all the necessary preparations, and there's a lot of work because you have to clean off of this bathroom. As I mentioned, there's only a small part of it. Here, Ko Yuma Mikros Hagever Sagi. Normally it's enough to start a little earlier, and that's Kreis Hagever. The Yom HaKippurim Mishum Chulsha B'Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol is going to get very tired. You do it with Mechatzeis. Now there's two different approaches to this. Actually, more than two different approaches. But there's basically a machlokas. Does the Kohen Gadol do the Trumas Hadesh? We know all of the Avodas Hayom were up to the Kohen Gadol, but Trumas Hadesh is merely part of the Avodas Hayom. I mean, the Mashmoz is Mishum Chulsha B'Kohen Gadol. We'll have him do the Trumas Hadesh and let him go back to sleep and get a little rest before he has to do the Avodas Hayom. That would be the job if it's saying it's the end. However, Taisa says, and there's a big problem with that because of this Aryeh David Kohen Gadol, why isn't the Tefillah for the Trumas Hadesh listed? Right? As the Mishnah goes through all of the Tefillahs, the Chamesh Tefillahs, and the Asar HaKiddushin, he doesn't say anything about being preparing himself for Trumas Hadesh early, which he would have to prepare himself for. Why not? Apparently it isn't done by the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos says, look, I mean, Mishum Chulsha B'Kohen Gadol can have a very simple explanation. The earlier you get started on the Avodas Hayom, the earlier you finish, basically. And therefore, if the Kohen Gadol can get started before he's tired and hungry, so it's much kinder to him to be able to finish the Aveda as early as possible. What we need, you know, if it runs into the night, but we daven all day long. I mean, let him finish up, and we'll start the day earlier. Therefore, in order to make it easier for him, let the other family who are dealing with the Trumas Hadesh, let them deal with it earlier. The regalim, the nefisha karbanos, and during the regalim, we have all of these tens of thousands karbanos. The kadmi also Yisrael, because we find that the Azar was full of Yisrael even earlier on. So then, start Me'ashem Azar Rishonik, Iktan HaSeifa. Like it says over there, Beferish, it says, Lo Haita Kriyat HaGever Magad HaShaita Azara Maliyam Yisrael. During the Regalim, the Beis HaMikdash was filled by the time Kriyat HaGever came. And people were already waiting in line for hours to bring their Kabbalah. This is like a Beatles concert, you understand? People were waiting from the day before, and they were waiting around the corner. So when you keep them waiting, you have to open the ticket office, basically, right?
Maybe Jaws would be more perfect.
Yes. All right. So, Megabe Yokas Chuva, what do you say?